Robert Wolgemuth has a question for men.
How many of you are afraid of your wife? How many of you want to do everything you can to keep her from reacting, or could we say overreacting, in certain situations? And how often do you not tell her the full truth because you're afraid of that response?
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Lies Women Believe, for September 11th, 2018. Revive Our Hearts is a program for women, but today we'll hear from some men for a few reasons. First, we know some men listen to the program, and secondly, the more we learn about the way our husbands and brothers think, it will help us pray for them, help them, and support them. Dana Gresh and Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth are here to begin the conversation. They're the co-authors of Lies Young Women Believe and The Truth That Sets Them Free.
Nancy, you have been married almost 3 years.
Long time.
Have you figured your husband out?
Totally.
I'm so
glad. Does any woman ever?
No, I'm wondering, because I'm almost 30 years of marriage.
It's the mystery.
I'm still trying to understand my man.
But that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. And you know what's been a really helpful thing? Lies Men Believe.
Helping you better understand your man.
In fact, that's one reason why we're covering it today on Revive Our Hearts, because I've read Lies Men Believe, and I'm not a man. But I gained so much understanding about my husband, Bob.
And I had the same experience as I sat next to Robert. I was writing the revision of Lies Women Believe during the summer while he was writing Lies Men Believe. We were sitting out on our deck writing lies together. And I had the joy as we would bounce ideas back and forth. It was such a sweet thing for me as a fairly new wife to think, oh, well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to enter in more to some of the struggles that men have, that we have our own, but men have their own unique struggles. There's some lies that are very gender neutral, but there's some that are gender specific. And I'm so thankful that in Lies Men Believe, Robert has unpacked for men, but also as a help for women to better understand these men.
Exactly. I have to say, in 30 years of marriage, one of the most important moments of understanding my husband came as I was reading Lies Men Believe just a few days ago. And I'm going to tell you what that moment is in just a minute. But first, I want you to hear, our guests and our listeners today, that we're not in the studio alone today.
You don't think.
Two women talking about Lies Men Believe?
No, we thought we might bring in the experts. So we have my husband, Bob. Hi, babe.
Hello.
And the author of Lies Men Believe.
Drum roll, please.
Yes.
Hi,
Denise.
Robert.
Dennis. You've actually been out of town for a couple of days, so I was glad to have you in the studio this afternoon.
That's right.
I noticed that.
I just broke through the soundproof barrier and gave you a kiss right on the face.
Yes, you did. So what a great idea it would be today, not just for women to listen to the program, but to, if you're listening to the podcast, you can push pause and listen to it perhaps with your husband this evening if you think that's something he would enjoy. I think this would be a great conversation for husbands and wives to listen to together. Mm. Now, it's not just for married men. It's not just for married women, because as women, we function around men all the time and vice versa, but especially for married couples. What a great thing it'd be for you to come and join us around this table for this conversation. And I think you'll find it's really encouraging and hope-giving, but also enlightening.
And that invitation for your husband, if you're married, to come and listen to the broadcast needs to be very carefully worded.
Help us, honey.
Coach us up.
So this is not
You mean me telling Bob, hey, Bob, you need to come with me? That wasn't the good way.
He didn't lose a bet.
Okay.
And now he's got to come pay for it. It's like the book. Don't give it at him, right? What you do is you say, honey, or whatever you call your husband, I'm listening to Revive Our Hearts. And Nancy and Dana have their husbands in the studio. And it would mean so much to me if you could come and just listen to this with me. So she's cashing some coupons, right? She's sharing some equity in terms of her relationship. It's important to me, she's saying to her husband, for you to join me in this conversation, which is the same, hopefully, reason why she's going to give him this book. It's going to be helpful to me for you to read this book. And hopefully it's been written in a way that captures his attention. So pretty quickly he doesn't feel like this is an assignment from my wife, but he's actually enjoying this conversation with me.
Mm. It's also a great conversation starter around the kitchen table. A lot of times for me and Dana, she'll want to lay some deep spiritual truth on and I'll be ready to eat my steak and potatoes, and she'll say, "What has God told you today?" And I'll be like, that I'm hungry and I want to eat steak in front of me.
Good answer.
But there's so many things in this book that could be easy conversation starters for women to say, "I read this, and is this something you believe? Or this was interesting to me to find out this. Is this true in your life?"
Yeah.
It's not a threatening conversation starter.
That's really good, Bob. And I say in the first part of the book, this isn't every man thinks this way and every woman thinks this way, but that is, as you're saying, a good conversation starter because it invites her to say to him, "Is this the way it is?" Just like it is sometimes for him to say to her, "Is this the way it really is?" So if this starts that conversation around the table, so much the better.
And the other thing is that I think what's neat about this is the ability to have the same conversation about the same material.
Yes.
Often Dana will come back from a conference and be all juiced up about something that she learned. And when she comes in the door, she's ready to unload this on me. And it's the fourth quarter of a football game.
Hey.
Did I tell you the Eagles won the Super Bowl?
I have never done that.
The Lord used me in your wife's life to get her interested in watching football with you.
And I love
Have you ever thanked me for that?
I haven't. I thank you now. All the things that you've done for me.
She was not a sports fan. And then she watched me become a Cubbies fan when I got married.
Now she's sports. She does some sporting.
I do.
But it's nice to have the same conversation at the same time.
It's nice to have parallel resources.
Yes. And in fact, the sports thing is not a rabbit trail because Nancy knows that sports is important to me. Mm-hmm. It was never important to her, except Notre Dame football, which I can't believe. But when she discovered that this is the way I think, this is important to me, so she went ahead and joined me in the same way that a woman could say to her husband, "I would love for you to read this book," exactly as Bob is saying, so we can be on the same page. It's like watching the same game side by side, and you're commenting on that great catch or the home run or whatever. That's really how this book, I think, could help start the conversation between a husband and a wife.
Because we do think and communicate differently, which you so eloquently laid out yesterday on the program when we went back to the Garden of Eden, kind of looked at Adam and Eve and how they approached the whole temptation of that tree differently and how they thought differently.
Yes.
And if you want to hear that broadcast, you can listen to it on reviveourhearts.com. But Robert, there's one little thing we didn't get to as we were in the Garden of Eden yesterday.
Is this what you said was the aha moment for you
as
you were reading?
This was such an aha moment for me. I felt like I both understood my husband in a new way, and I also understood how I may be hurting him and could have an opportunity to help him.
Wow.
So let me ask you a question, Robert. Okay. Is it possible that Adam had a motivation for his wife that contributed to his passivity and made him go along with sinning with his wife?
Okay, so if we could take a poll right now of the men who are listening right now and say, all right, all cards on the deck, how many of you are afraid of your wife? How many of you want to do everything you can to keep her from reacting, or could we say overreacting in certain situations? And how often do you not tell her the full truth because you're afraid of that response?
Wow.
There would be hands in the air. Everywhere.
You think a lot of them.
A lot of them.
You're saying maybe one thing that kept Adam quiet was fear of his wife?
Absolutely. And he decided in that moment.
We wanted to please her, right?
Well, this is one of those, we'll figure it out later. He wanted to please her and was willing to disobey God in order to affirm what his wife had just done and taken the bite of the fruit. Now, some of that is conjecture. That's not actually in the word. But it doesn't take a lot of stretching, I think, to at least put that together, given what he did or what he didn't do or what she did and his response to what she did. So we'll talk about that later kind of approach. So instead of saying to Eve, here's a hard conversation. Honey, that was disobedience. That was wrong. And what he's opening himself up for at that moment is, well, here you are, Mr. Perfect, right? And so a lot of guys hold back. And of course, their approach probably could be better than it is sometimes. But again, this is anecdotal, but I do believe that men, out of fear of their wife's response, withhold their true feelings, withhold candor, withhold honesty.
Withhold leadership,
sure.
Even before she sinned, Scripture indicates he was there with her.
Right.
And she's having this conversation with the serpent, who clearly is leaving Adam out of the conversation. But the courage it would have taken for him to step up and say, don't do that.
This is a bad idea.
Yeah. So, you know, to think that there could have been fear of her displeasure is a powerful thing for us as women to think. Do we create an environment that makes it more difficult for our men to do the right thing?
Yes.
I see two things that are happening there. One is that many times wives are the more spiritual of the two in a relationship. They might read the Bible more. They generally listen to Christian radio more. They generally buy more Christian books. Men think they lack spiritual authority because they're not reading the amount of books, listening to the amount of Christian radio, going to the amount of conferences. And so they are not as confident about their spiritual authority in the home.
Yeah. And so, boy, I understand that. 3 years ago, I married Nancy Lee DeMoss.
Sure.
And she's known around the world as an expert on Scripture.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, so I've taught Sunday school for a bunch of years and written a few books. The reason why that wasn't problematic was my wife's attitude about what she knew. So, you know, you could be married to a person who lords it over you, because she does know more. She's in more Bible studies. She spends more time in the Word. That's no excuse for a guy, right? But a woman's attitude about that in the presence of her husband is critical. That, in fact, the reason why she has all that information is to be more humble, to be more gentle, to be more kind, fruits of the Spirit, not to be an instructor, stand up, turn the microphone on, pull the podium out, and let him have it.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, I want to say, though, that, and thank you, you're so kind, but one of the things that made it so much easier for me as a wife to be responsive to you is I saw your hunger to know God. And the fact that you're up at the crack of dawn, and I'm not sanctifying one time above another, but you're up before I am every morning, and you're starting your day in the Word. You're texting me things that you're getting out of God's Word that morning, and just in a quiet sort of way. You don't brag about this. You don't make a big deal about it. But I have come down a few times earlier than normal and stumbled onto you on your knees praying. And I know that's how you're starting your day. And those things are huge. It's not that either of us knows everything there is to know or has – I mean, both of us wish we knew so much more about the Bible. But to have a husband that you know wants to know God – and wants to know his Word. That is a huge thing. And I'll tell you one other thing that makes me want to affirm and encourage your leadership is the fact that you, and for us, it's at the beginning and end of each day, but it could be any time, you just take my hand and you will start to pray. And it's not big, long, theological, deep prayers. I mean, at night you're falling asleep and it's an exercise in discipline, self-discipline to get that prayer out sometimes because you're just so tired. But you will stop and you'll pray for our family. You pray for me. You pray over me in the morning. I'm barely awake, but you're heading out to your quiet time. But you take my hand and you just pray for the filling of this Holy Spirit and for God's blessing on me. Thank the Lord for your precious wife. And those little things, it's not rocket science.
Right.
And you could be intimidated and say, as I think maybe some men might be, but I just am so thankful that you're willing to step up, and that makes me want to honor and respect and lift you up even more.
Wow. Well, with all due respect to my precious wife, who's known around the world as a Bible teacher, I fear God more than I fear you.
Wow. Mm. Wow.
Yeah. And that, I mean, what I just talked about, men fearing their wife's overreaction to things or how they'll take this message. But there's this ultimate respect. I don't dare. This isn't just like digging your fingernails into your gum so it feels good when you stop. I'm walking past that study every morning, and I'm thinking, the Lord is there waiting for me. Mm-hmm. I respect him too much to just keep walking. Mm. And that's a decision. If I'm across a cup of coffee with your husband, I'm saying, make a decision. Every life change begins with a single decision. A single decision today and then tomorrow and then the next day. So you decide, and I'm looking into your husband's eyes, pleading with him, saying, let's make a decision. This isn't rocket science, like you said. This is a decision that you can make, and it will impact everything. Mm-hmm. So again, I love you, and I admire you, I respect you, but I fear God more than I fear you.
And I love that.
So Nancy, you talked about this dark 030 thing, and people give me a hard time, as you know. Like I go to bed earlier than most mortals. But, okay, so the truth is that that early morning thing is a confession. Not only am I not proud of it, it's a confession. Like, what kind of confession is it? It's a confession that I know that the wheels will come off of my life if I don't do that. Several years ago, I went to the Arnold Palmer Invitational golf tournament. It used to be called the Bay Hill in Orlando. It wasn't far from my home in Orlando. And Tiger Woods had his worst round at Bay Hill, which is the country club that's used. His worst round on a Saturday. I was there with my nephew. So we went for a drive afterward, and we're driving through certain neighborhoods, and I happened to be able to get into Tiger Woods' neighborhood. And we drove around. In the back of his neighborhood is a driving range. And there was a guy standing on the tee box in this driving range, and there was a car behind him with his headlights up against him, and he was pounding balls. And it was Tiger Woods. We drove around. Wow. It was Tiger Woods. And he's standing there pounding golf balls, one after another. And his friend Mark O'Meara, a neighbor of his and a good friend, was standing in front of him watching his swing. And I'm thinking, Tiger Woods failed today. And what did he do? He went out and he hit hundreds of golf balls. Mm. Dark 030 for me is Tiger Woods, after having a bad round, standing on the tee box at the practice range, pounding golf balls, trying to get it right. So dark 030 for me is a confession. I don't boast about that. I'm a broken, sinful man, and I know it. And if I don't have that, I know I'm in serious trouble.
Maybe you're listening and you're saying, wow, my marriage doesn't sound anything like Nancy and Robert's. I would say to you that Bob and I would probably fall into that category. We're growing. We're learning. I think that's why Lies Men Believe was so powerful in my life as a woman, because I could see two things. That first of all, Bob really does treasure me and the relationship with me. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the way I'm interacting with him makes him fearful to lead. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Bob, because I know that's true. And maybe you're listening and that sounds like your marriage. You know what? Pause right now. Pause the program right now and just apologize to your husband and let him lead a little bit.
Which, let me just say, that happens in our marriage. Mm. And we do have to stop, push pause, and say, look, we're not on the radio here. we're not writing a book. This is life.
Yeah.
Robert came to my study the other night, and we had had I forget what it was even about right now, but a misunderstanding about something. And within minutes, he was up kneeling at my chair in my study saying, I didn't communicate right. I was not kind. That was not right. Please forgive me. What makes our marriage really sweet is not that we are both really sweet, because so much of the time I'm not. And Robert would say that about himself. But what makes our marriage sweet is that we keep getting to the cross. And we keep acknowledging when we blow it and when we've been deceived and when we've made choices that weren't in the other's best interest. And we come back and we just, what you're just doing right now with Bob, Dana, to say, God's showing me this, and that's the gospel, is that he redeems messes and broken people. Not that he, you know, helps people who've got it all together, because we don't.
The scripture talks about those who know to do right and do not do it, to them it is sin. So I'm in my study. You and I have had this misunderstanding / disagreement. And so you're off, you're back to your study, and the Lord is beating me up. And I'm saying, well, it's not a big deal. It wasn't a big deal. And we can fix this later. And that's true. But the Lord was speaking to me right now. It's like the spontaneity in the Gospels of the woman who poured expensive ointment on Jesus' feet. If she had thought about it, she wouldn't have done it. But this impulse to serve Jesus in that way, she did it. She got it done. And so, you know, again, if I'm looking across the table in a cafe with your husband, I'm saying, just do it. You know, you get that sense in your spirit, I need to have a conversation with my wife. Just do it. Don't wait. There's no reason to wait.
So, Nancy, let's say that there's a couple that's listening right now. They both have great hearts, but what we've been saying resonates so much. The man feels controlled by the woman and the desire to please her, and he's afraid of her. What's your advice to the woman so that she can make her husband feel like he's in a safer environment?
Well, I think what we're talking about or around about here is we all have things in our own lives and in our marriages where we get stuck. And it's not a healthy interaction. I mean, even really good marriages, the best marriages I know, have these seasons where they're just off. They're missing cues. They're misconnecting, miscommunicating, and have unfulfilled desires and longings. And, you know, we talk to women all the time on this program, and most of our resources, all of our resources virtually are designed for women to encourage them as to how to be a safe place. I'd encourage women to go read Lies Women Believe if they haven't read that. And we have lots of broadcasts that deal with women in a marriage to a man who maybe isn't walking with the Lord, or our expectations we have to deal with as women. And these are things we talk about all the time. But while we have our gentleman here today, I just think it's a great opportunity for you guys, Robert and Bob, to have a chance to speak hope and encouragement to men who feel, I can't measure up, I feel controlled, or whatever it is. I don't want to be the one to tell you what men are thinking or what they're experiencing. But as you're thinking about some of these lies that men believe, how do you encourage yourselves? How do you encourage a man who's listening about how to take some next steps to feel in a healthy and whole place?
Well, it starts with what we talked about earlier, and that's encouraging a man day by day to spend time with the Lord one-on-one in His Word. And there are lots of wonderful devotional books that you can get involved in that'll help you navigate this daunting book called the Bible. And then have a friend, somebody who knows your heart well enough to be able to affirm you and well enough to be able to say, that sounds really weird. Like, why would you think that? Somebody who loves you enough to be able to talk like that. And of course, going to church, huge. That's where people are who can love you for free. If you've got children, that's where you bring them, to give them free adults who aren't their coach, their teacher, who aren't going to say sit up straight and take a lap. They love them for free. And we've heard recently a story about a young man at church who was befriended by an adult who loved him and drew him to the Savior as a result of this free adult, not a dad, not a coach, not a teacher, who loved him. So, yes, I would say on your own, one-on-one, day-to-day, and let your wife in on some of that. You know, Bob said earlier about sometimes a man is intimidated because his wife is spending more time in the Word. She's more articulate about the things in the Bible. And so he might be anxious about bringing that subject up, or when she asks him a question about that, he's thinking, is that like in the Old Testament or the New Testament? So he feels really out of it. So I think the grace that a wife issues to her husband so that she's affirming him where he is and encouraging him where he needs to be, all those things, you said it, all marriages struggle with this. You've got two sinful people trying to make a go of it in a relationship.
And male and female, just those differences.
Absolutely. That's enough, isn't it? But then you blanket that with grace, with righteousness that comes from the cross. We stand before Him and before each other, redeemed, sinless, really, right? Yeah. That our sins are forgiven and that we have reconciliation with our Father. That makes a whole difference between you and me if we have that kind of unity. Okay, here's an example. Last night, the Cubs lost in the bottom of the ninth inning. And so we talked about that. We weren't together. I was on a trip. We know that feeling. We also know the feeling of watching a game, listening to a game when they win. So here we are, children of the kingdom, and we know the faithfulness of our Savior. We stand side by side, basking in the joy of a W. Cubs fans know what that is. The freedom that comes, embracing the victory of the cross and what Christ has done for us.
My heart's breaking a little bit right now for the woman who's listening and saying, yeah, but Nancy, you have a husband who loves the Lord. Dana, yeah. Your marriage may not be perfect, but you have a husband who loves the Lord, mm-hmm. and she doesn't. Maybe she has a husband who professes to be a believer, but he's really resisting being at church. Robert, it's one of the lies you write about in the first chapter in Lies About God. You say one of the lies that men believe is church. I can take it or leave it. So what are some of the excuses you see about why men are skipping out on church? Speak to the woman right now who's saying, wow, I really just wish my husband would come to church with me.
Use I statements. Don't use you statements. Why is this important to you? Now I'm speaking to the wife. And let him know. Hmm. But be careful. Be gentle. Be persuasive. And don't die on the hill.
Yeah.
Because how many stories, honey, do you know of women who were relentlessly faithful, praying for their husbands.
But patient.
Humble,
waiting
patient.
Waiting on the Lord.
Living the fruits of the Spirit. Give him something he wants. Mm-hmm. Don't obligate him to something he ought to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between those two. And the Lord knows. The Lord's not saying, well, you know, this is kind of surprising me, this relationship. He has us where he has us, and it's his purposes in our lives. We don't know why necessarily. We don't have to know why. We just trust him. But lovingly say to your husband, it would mean so much to me. And pick a few. I mean, be careful of stewardship Sunday, right? But there's something special going on. And you'd love for him to be
singing.
A part. Grandkids are singing. Don't you see that a lot at church? Mm-hmm. Which that's a good thing. I love mm-hmm. when the church is full of husbands and wives when their kids or grandkids are singing. That's a great excuse. And you want to say to the pastor, now be alert because there could be a lot of visitors or Easter or Christmas. And live the life. Give your husband something that he really would love to have for himself.
Mm-hmm. I'd also say to use a trusted friend. You know, a lot of things happen in community. So to ask a friend, a mutual friend, hey, could you reach out to my husband? Could you invite him to an event? Could you go bowling? Could you do something non-churchy until he builds a friendship that I can you can invite him to church? Because sometimes the wife isn't in the best position to accomplish that goal.
Right.
It's just like for Dan and I, we had to find mentors for our children because there are times in their teen years when we're not the ones that they necessarily.
I know you're talking, Dad, but my radio is not turned to your station.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, is it just non-Christian men who feel uncomfortable at church, or do you think my experience is that I am counseling Christian women with Christian husbands who are saying, "I am a Christian. I love God. I want to be the Christian leader of my house, but I'm not connecting at church." So. Mm. I'm just going to kind of give up.
And this is where I may be the really odd ball here because I'm not really a writer. I think I might be wired a little bit differently than you guys because I'm feeling completely out of place at points because I don't feel like I measure up. And my heart is concerned about the men who are like me saying, okay, I don't get up. I think it's before the crack of dawn actually for you, Robert.
Darko 30.
Right. I'm a man who thinks that sometimes that church is very – the traditional service is very feminine. We sing and then we sit and listen. There's no interactivity and so I spend an hour and a half having to really work on being engaged because it's not natural for me to just sit and learn as much as it is to interact and be motivated by a round table like this.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what?
Does that make me really unspiritual?
No, no.
You know what, though, Bob? I've watched you over the years, and you and Dana, out of your personal journey, your journey as a couple, I've watched you lean into community and need other men and wise pastors and your wife. And, you know, there's something about need. There's something even about, for all of us, about failure or emptiness or loneliness or just need that God creates in our hearts, that vacuum that presses us to realize we need the body of Christ. And so I don't think that, you know, going to the church service is the hill to die on for the wife whose husband isn't there. It's praying that God creates in both of you a greater love for Christ, a love for his people, a sense of we need God's people. We're not intended to survive alone. So as a woman, I think if we can not make the surface symptom the main issue, but say, what is God doing at a deeper level? And what does he want to do in me that would create greater hunger and thirst in my husband's heart?
And I want to reiterate that it's important to go to church, and I enjoy going to church. I enjoy the relationships at church. There are different things that I get out of church. I have realized at 51 that I almost don't get anything accomplished by myself at work. Almost nothing. So I have to be engaged with people and collaborating. And Dana's totally the opposite. She would consider herself not getting much done when she's with people. And so part of this is based upon personality, that other people help me get deeper into the Word to encourage my personal time in the Word.
Most churches take care of little kids on their own. So think of it as a date. I mean, Nancy will tell you that we love sitting next to each other in church. Now, this is a confession. I'm not a big fan of contemporary music, Christian music. I'm not a big fan. I have no CDs. I have no MP3 downloads of any contemporary Christian
music. You would
have
been in the 1800s.
But I get an hour and 20 minutes with my bride. And we sit really close to each other, don't we, honey?
We do.
And we enjoy when our pastor opens the Word and we sit there, whether it's electronic or physical copy of our Bibles. And we love that. And driving home from church, did you hear what he said about so-and-so? How does it become, it begins the conversation. So
and connecting it's a together with other people at the church, because not everybody has a mate to sit next to.
That's
when
so
I was
true.
Single, that was one of the loneliest parts of my week.
Bet.
And I know it is for a lot of other people. So it's when we're there, we're connecting. We call it our aisle ministry, A-I-S-L-E,
right.
And connecting with people who are college students and widows and older couples and non-couples. But we're doing it together. We're praying together with people who just express a need. So we're receiving, but we're also being poured out for others.
And the more I get to do that with you, the more reason it gives me to go to church.
Robert, let's end this program by breathing some hope into the woman today who is believing that her husband will want to go to church with her, who is believing that her husband may become a believer because he doesn't even know the Lord yet. Could you pray for that woman who feels a little bit lonely from this conversation that we're having right now?
I'd love to. So, Father, I pray for a man who might be listening right now whose only reason to listen is that his wife has said, you know, this will be really important to me, so would you do this? And maybe his mind has wandered, or he's pulled out his cell phone, or he's texting somebody. So I pray for him right now. I pray that you would, by a miracle of the Holy Spirit, give my voice a chance to communicate to his heart. And I pray that you'll give him, this man, this friend of mine who I've not met yet, the courage to just do it, to step out. And even if it's for a questionable motive right now, that he'll soon understand the joy that Bob was just talking about of saying yes and going to church and sitting with other believers, bumping into guys that he may know from work or from his kids' ball games when they sit close to each other in the stands. And then he would also realize that your word is truth and that by way of your Holy Spirit, you speak to us in the crevices and the creases of our hearts that we haven't allowed anybody to enter, those secret places that nobody knows. And it's in that context that you love us. You don't love us in spite of our stuff. You love us because of our stuff. And so we worship you and we thank you. I pray that you bring transparency, not only into my own heart and my friend Bob's heart, but into the hearts of the men who are listening here. I pray that you would give their wife the joy of being a safe place for them to tell her who he is, his fears, his anxieties, his worries. I just pray that by way of, again, the power of your Holy Spirit, you will bind hearts together and you will give us the truth that sets us free. So I thank you for the privilege of having this conversation, for the privilege of putting some ideas down on paper or on an audio book that would have a chance, just a chance, to touch a man's heart and to transform his heart, and by way of that, his marriage, if he's married, or just his own life with his friends, with his colleagues. So thank you again for the privilege of doing things like this that matter. By your grace, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for that prayer, honey, and I'm so thankful that you've written this book. I know it was a labor of love. I watched you pour out yourself month after month till this came to be, and now it's here. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we're celebrating the release of this book, and I know, Dana, that many of our listeners want to have a chance to read it or to give it to a husband that they know would have a heart for it. And as Robert, I've heard you say before, don't give it at your husband or your son or whatever, but you may want to share it with, and there are men listening who want to get this. Maybe small groups of men go through the study together, or just men reading it alone. But Dana, we want to make that book available to our listeners, men or women, today. Tell us how they can do that.
You may want a copy of Lies Men Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. And we would love to give you a copy today as our way of saying thank you when you make a donation to Revive Our Hearts. You can give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can make your gift online at reviveourhearts.com. But be sure to make a note to ask for Robert's book, Lies Men Believe.
And we're going to pick up with this conversation again tomorrow. So we invite you to join us again for Revive Our Hearts. And you might, again, want to ask your husband or a son or a dad to join you as we continue this conversation.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth wants to help you say no to lies and walk in the truth. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.